This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
We're alive. It's actually working. Hey, yeah, this is live from the edge. So it's a little frustrating because we always use Hangouts on air, and that no longer exists anymore. Google decided to terminate that. So now we're using StreamYard, and it's working, I think, apparently fine right now, right?
It is indeed, so according to what I saw.
You should, everyone listening, you should have saw us panicking yesterday when Short Treks dropped. You know how everyone is like, oh my gosh, a new Short Treks, it just dropped. I'm so excited. We're like, oh crap, we got to do a live show, and we don't have a solution. Because Hangouts on air doesn't exist anymore, and we were going, but we figured it all out. So that's, and then I had to figure that, how to make this thing work, and then I watched Short Treks later, because I had to figure that, I had to be calm, because I wanted to be calm when I watch Short Treks, you know?
Yes, well, I did watch it half a dozen times. Yeah, maybe more. No, it was more. Six times.
I watched it three. And the first time I watched it for Q&A was on my Roku, and it wouldn't work. It kept saying error.
Oh, no.
I tried everything else. I used past episodes. I used other series. I did Discovery, and they were all working. It was just that episode of Short Treks. So then we went to our bedroom. My wife was with me. We went to our bedroom and watched it in there on Apple TV, and it worked just fine. So I haven't tried Roku since then, because the next two times I watched it was on my computer.
Yeah, the first time I watched it, we were watching it on my phone because we have CBS All Access through Amazon, and it wasn't there. The Short Treks was not there.
That's not the first time that has happened.
No, it's not. I haven't checked today to see if they've corrected that. So we had, basically, I just wanted to see it. So we watched it on my phone, and then I reinstalled the CBS All Access app because I know how to log into that with my Amazon information. And so, yeah. So I then watched it on the big screen five more times, not all in a row, over the course of the last 24 hours-ish.
Yeah, so on Roku, since I said that episode didn't work right, but we were able to watch the Discovery trailer and the Picard trailer.
Indeed.
On Roku through, yes, CBS All Access, so that worked fine. It was just that episode. But anyway, I got to see it, no problem. But, by the way, anybody who's not in YouTube right now listening and watching us live, I'm Bruce Gibson. So you haven't introduced ourselves. Oh, and you? Gosh,
I'm Brandi Jacola.
Who are you?
I'm Brandi Jacola.
No, this month,
whatever you want to say.
Jack-o'-lantern.
Yep. Brandi Jack-o'-lantern coming at you.
Coming at you live.
Live.
And I want to ask the chat, how is everybody doing, and how are we looking and hearing and sound wise? And are we good? Are we good to go? Everyone's good. Jacko La La Land, says Christopher Littlefield. I like that. Jacko La La Land.
I'll take it.
Oh, Dan says we look and sound great.
Fantastic. Good, well, to hear.
I could have told you that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know I've been through some changes since we last did live, but
you have like a different hair color.
Yeah, this is my natural hair color that's coming in. All this, that's the,
actually it's actually pretty, to be honest with you.
Well,
it's silver.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say gray. It's like silver.
Yeah, it's very shiny. And my stylist actually said, you've got so much beautiful silver in here. You know, when you're ready, we can transition you into growing that out. And earlier this year, I said, screw this. I am done coloring my hair and worrying about regrowth. Let's go natural. And that's what I've been doing.
I know. It sucks that you feel like you have to color your hair because you don't want to look older, you know, with gray hair and all that. I mean, I've got some gray that's been coming in and whatever. But my wife, she's like really gray and she dyes her hair. But within a week, she's got that skunk look at the top of her head.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep wanting to get like a spray bottle of paint and just go right down the center of her head and just like get that out for her so everything matches. But at some point, she's going to do what you're doing. And I'm not ready for that.
Oh.
I'm not to say that she's not going to look good, but it's like, I don't know. I'm not ready to admit we're getting older. Well, my birthday was yesterday, right?
So yeah, happy birthday.
I'm feeling the Kirk thing right now where I'm not ready to commit to being old yet. Thanks, Bones, for the glasses. I'm just not ready.
Age is just a number.
It is just a number. So, yeah, and it was a great birthday yesterday because we got the trailers and short treks. I felt like that was my birthday present. I was so happy.
Yes, it was wonderful, wonderful. Once I stopped stressing out, it was wonderful.
Okay, and look, anybody who's watching on YouTube, look at this. Do you see this fine little stuff we can do with the video? I don't know.
Yeah, he can kick me to the curb really fast.
I don't know how to get Brandy like full screen, but I can split screen.
Yep.
We can do all kinds of stuff.
It's so crazy. It's because I'm a guest in this show now, because you know how to... Chris, honestly, everyone that knew we were having trouble, it was not good for a while. It was not good for a while. But Bruce just, he was determined, and we worked it out. And 99% of the credit goes to him for figuring all of this out.
And I did it on my birthday. That's how I spent my birthday.
So. Not his whole birthday.
No, it was just like an hour or two.
It was a couple of hours, and I was missing lunch, and I was very hungry, but I wanted to get this sorted.
Well, you want to get sorted because let's get to exactly what it is that we need to talk about, and it's about this episode of Short Treks Q&A, which we were shocked and surprised to get because you and I did an impromptu live show just 2 weeks ago?
Thereabouts.
We did that?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, you know what? We haven't done a live show in forever. We miss doing it. Let's just do this impromptu show. It's not released as a podcast. I think we're putting it out there for patrons. I don't know if it's going to show up there or not. I'm just waiting on other people to make that happen whenever that happens. Because we're thinking, who knows when we're going to get a short treks? And then all of a sudden we get this, you know, and it's like, surprise.
Yeah.
I think you're the one who told me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I got a message from you. You're like, there's a short treks out right now.
Well, the thing is that I have certain Twitter accounts set to give me all the notifications of their postings. And TrekCore was going nuts to the point where I had to turn off my notifications because my phone was buzzing every second. And that was how I found out. I'm like, no, I am not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. How dare you do this to me without notice? And then, you know, it was all fine. But yeah, it was pretty stressful for a couple of hours, and once we got everything sorted out and I finally had lunch, I was just exhausted for the rest of the day and I had a massive headache.
Oh, wow. That sucks.
It's okay.
Wow, I feel like I contributed to that.
No, you did not. It's Alex Kurtzman's fault.
Oh, yes. I've heard that a lot on Twitter, that a lot of things are Alex Kurtzman's fault.
You know, yeah, it's not a big deal. I'm not angry anymore. I would appreciate a bit of notice. You know, there are people out there who podcast about this stuff that would like to, you know, do a live show without freaking out. We made it.
Well, don't let other Starfleet officers see that emotion from you.
Never.
You know? If you want command track, you need to suppress that.
Yep. I've been doing that all my life.
So have I. Even if it's painful.
It is. Sorry.
So, that kind of hints at the episode. So I'm trying to think where I was going to go with this, and I don't remember. But let me just say this. The episode starts, and we're on the turbo lift. No, it's opening the. It's not opening with the turbo lift. What I was going to say is like the opening credits. It says Discovery. It starts going up like a turbo lifts.
Yeah,
like, you notice they play with the graphics.
Yeah, and then the little spark, and then everything goes dark.
Yeah, just like on the turbo lift later in the episode. It's almost like a hint of what's to come.
Yes.
So then we go to the first shot of Spock, and he's walking into some kind of chamber, which I guess is a transporter room of some type, but it looks different from what we've seen.
Well, it's not.
I don't know if it was a transporter room or not. It was just some little hall.
Well, it was definitely a transporter area. I don't know. It seems like he was on a starbase when he beamed aboard Enterprise, because she asked him how his time was on the starbase, and he said, uneventful, sir. So I'm assuming he was on the starbase, and I don't know how all starbases work, but perhaps they're just very utilitarian with their transporters.
I guess. Maybe. Yeah. And by the way, Liam Smart, yes, I know you probably haven't seen the episode. Again, like last year with Short Treks, it's just the States and Canada can see this one, but no one else has seen it,
yeah,
at least legally.
And that is not the fault of CBS All Access. That is the fault of the partners across the oceans wanting to carry that. So blaming CBS All Access is blaming the wrong group.
Well, you got to blame someone. You don't know who it
is. Well, blame Netflix then.
Yeah. Anyway, there's going to be spoilers. So
yep. So
what am I saying? All views. I never say that. Why did I say it? For all yous out there.
It's because I was talking like this earlier, wasn't it?
Before we went live,
I was talking like this, and now that's what you was thinking. That's how you got to talk now.
Well, for all yous who are just wondering, let's go back to the episode. Spock is ready to beam to the Enterprise, and he starts to smile. So, Brandy, how did that play for you? What were you thinking at that moment? Why is he smiling?
Because he's excited.
He's excited, but come on, it's Spock.
Hey,
he's not supposed to
smile because he's excited about beaming. No.
He's beaming in his face.
Let's go back to the episode, The Cage, when they first get to Talos IV.
I know.
And the singing plants. He smiles at that. So it's not like it's unheard of.
Well, and also in the very next pilot, we see him smiling as he's playing 3D chess with Kirk. He gives a little grin to Kirk.
Yeah.
So that's true. But so should the writers really be playing from that, or just ignore that and say that was just early pilots? That was something they were still figuring out the Spock character. Let's ignore that and play Spock totally emotionalist, logical, whatever. Or should they go ahead and do what they're doing and say, well, let's acknowledge he smiled then and play a story towards that?
I think that was purposeful. Because
I think so too, but do they really have to do that?
Do they have to do anything? Did they have to do a Short Trek? No, but they did, and this is what we have. And I like that because it plays into the story and to the relationship that Number One and Spock form while they're stuck in that turbo lift.
Right.
Because she tells him that she finds it disconcerting, and you can see that actually hurts him. And, you know, he just becomes the neutral mask comes down, and he will not do it again. And then she's like, no, that's not what I meant. So, but yeah.
So, okay. So let's jump ahead to that moment. Then she sings, and then he sings and smiles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
laughs.
He laughed. And did you hear the people who were trying to get them out of the turbo lift? You could hear one in the background say, I think I just heard them laughing in there. Did you pick up on that?
I did.
So, I mean, look, I'm not complaining about the smiling thing. If they want to take what was in the cage and acknowledge that as canon and in the continuity of what they're doing in here, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But in some ways, I have to admit, the big grin and laugh that Spock gave at that moment after they were singing just came across a little bit too much for me. Maybe it was too, like, I wouldn't mind a smile or a smirk, maybe a little ha-ha, but It seemed like a lot for Spock.
You know, I don't really see it that way because he was reacting to her enthusiasm, and it was like he was giving her a gift that she's never going to get again. Because this moment, gone, over. He's never going to act this way again. And so to me, it was like he was giving her that gift to make her to help her understand that he was in awe of what she had just done.
Yeah.
And I get that. Frankly, I was in awe as well because her diction was amazing.
It was very amazing. I started to wonder if Rebecca Rebecca Romaine Lettuce, I wondered if she knew that song before this episode or if she practiced it first time singing it for this.
She may have had to practice it. I'm not entirely sure. She is a singer, and she has been for many years.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So, yeah. Okay. I actually knew that from, I want to say it was around the turn of the century that she actually did a song on an album full of Prince covers. And that was when I found out she could sing. So, and I wouldn't be surprised.
She did a Prince cover thing.
Yeah.
Look, I'm hot. I'm getting my fan going. So she sings, "I am the very model of a modern major general." Mm-hmm. And I thought, after I listened to that, I thought, is Brandy going to go on the live show and sing that?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Nice try, though.
I am the very model of a modern major general. Okay. but Spock sang it. That was pretty cool. So,
yeah, and
I don't know.
Dan,
a little off. I was surprised by that.
Dan brings up a good point. She showed him her freaky, so he showed her his.
Yeah. Okay. This is an early Spock, and I accept that, and I get that. But, you know, later Spock wouldn't have done that.
No, later Spock wouldn't have done that, but this isn't later Spock.
Right. So I would like to know more about that journey from this Spock to the later Spock. I know we've got bits and pieces of it. I'd love to know more about that.
Well, yeah. But that's the thing. You have to keep your freaky, keep your freaky secret. Can't show the freaky.
And in the chat, I agree with Christopher Lowfield. Spock was a little pitchy.
You know what? Okay, so Ethan Peck is not the best singer in the world, but he's awesome at the cello. There are plenty of musicians who can.
Well, I don't know. He could be
a
good singer, but maybe he didn't feel like Spock would be a good singer.
Oh, Spock would absolutely not be a good singer. He would
right.
not.
So he may have played it that way.
Yeah. Let's. I don't know. Let's ask Ethan Peck the next time we see him. Which for me has been never. So.
All right. Well, let's go back to the beginning again, because now Spock beams up and there's number one. She's making some kind of memo log entry or whatever. And it says they're on the pad, Lieutenant Commander Una. Mm-hmm. So that is even more confirmation that her name is Una, even though when Spock later says to her, "Your name is Una," she says, "No, you call me number one."
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting too. But
no, she didn't say that. She said, "My name is number one."
That's right. My name is number one.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing I do have a bit of a problem with. I'm not complaining a lot. I'm just saying there's little nitpick things. When they were getting on the turbo lift and she said to him right before they were entering, you know, "Start asking me questions." His first question was, "What is your name?" And I thought, is that really, if Spock were transferring to a starship, he would not look up or find out what the first officer's name is? He'd wait till he gets there to ask?
Well, unless there was also a picture, how would he know that that was the first officer? But regardless of that, I think it was a way to break the ice, or it might have been a test. Maybe he knew her name was Una, and he wanted to see what she said when he asked her what her name was.
Ooh, I like that answer. Maybe, yes, he's done enough research to know that she never says what her name is. She always tells people that her name is number one, even though it's really Una. And so that was his first test. You want a question? Fine. What is your name?
Mm-hmm.
Just to see how she answers. I love that answer. Okay, now yay. I'm just glad that we did the show now.
Excellent. Let's stop.
For that reason right there.
We're done. And thanks, everybody, stop. For joining us. Have a
thanks,
great night.
Everybody. Yeah, it was great. And yeah, I'm looking here in the chat. Everybody like is Patrick says the song has been stuck in his head and he's been singing it ever since. See, now, Patrick, I wish you were on to sing to us.
Yeah, because Brandy's not gonna.
Oh, and Dan, good point. Spock doesn't even sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat in Star Trek V very well either.
There you go. Well, I don't think they focus very much on singing on Vulcan.
No, they play instruments.
Yes, but singing, no, because singing requires a level of emotion that they're obviously not willing to put into it.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Okay. So she says. One of my favorite parts. I'm not used to doing a live show anymore.
Yeah, we've forgotten how to do this.
I forgot how to do this, and we usually have guests on. We don't do it for the short treks, but we do it for all the others. So, yeah, which will, of course, when Discovery Season 3 comes, we'll be back to doing this. Will we be doing it for Star Trek Picard? I don't know. There's no plans for that. So this is my favorite part of the whole episode, and it's here at the beginning after he beams in, and he's yelling from the transporter.
Yes!
And she tells him to stop yelling, because that is going back to the play from the cage to him on the bridge, yelling things out, whatever he says. I can't even remember.
The women! That was the transporter.
And then that. Okay, yes. And I have it in my notes. I wrote the women, because that's what was supposed to remind me.
Yep. Yes, he was
but
very
I love
shouting.
That.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was hilarious, because I love how he shouts on the bridge, and then he shouts, the women! And all that. And then he... And it works so well because it's like he's this green ensign and he comes in and I am the new officer. I'm shouting. It's like, dude, calm down. I know you're new and you're green at this, but you don't need to shout. And that sticks with him for a while. I would have even loved it better once he got on the bridge at the end of the episode. He's still shouting at one point. And Pike looks at him and says, come on, dude. You
know? Yeah. And his
I'm right here.
His little face after she says no need to shout. And he's just like, yeah, no, yeah. Sir. I just felt so bad for him.
Yes, Dan Gunther, my co-host in Literary Treks, is in the chat saying the next thing I was going to mention. Well, no, that's later. But do Vulcans experience awe? That's what Pike says to Spock when he's on the bridge. Not stop shouting. But I really liked his answer, if I can remember what it was. He says, oh, they do, Captain, but they tend to keep it to themselves. And he gives a look at number one, and she smiles at him.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, how sweet. That really shows that there's like a close relationship with these two, which I really like that because it starts from the very beginning of him boarding the starship. Because we don't really see that in the cage.
No.
We don't see that they have that close relationship, but it makes a lot of sense that they're both... Even though she's not Vulcan, she's, you know, she tends to be very serious, very logical, very, very, very intelligent. And so you would think that there would be a closeness between these two. They can play off of each other. And I love it to the point that they're the opposite of what I just described when they're alone together.
Yes.
They can loosen up.
Yes. They know each other's freaky now. And they also know they can trust each other after this experience. She knows she can trust Spock never to tell her secret, and he knows the same about her.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, it's, again, I think he laughed a little too much, but that's their choice.
That's just
mine.
A personal opinion, and that's
exactly.
Fine. That's
But it's cool because it gives a new something new about Spock, something we don't expect, and I usually want that anyway. It's just I have to get used to it now.
Yeah.
It's like you, Brandy. It took a while for me to get used to you.
Yeah, well, I'm like that.
No, it's not you. It's the hair. That's what I'm getting used to.
It's like that. It's fine. No. I'm just, yeah. See, that's the thing is that you haven't seen me in a while, but everybody else has seen me and is used to it.
I have seen you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. live thing. Yeah, but you're still not used to it, and that's okay.
No, but I will say, no, we clicked right away.
We did.
When we first met. We did. Just like Spock, number one.
Yeah. Which one of us is which? I'm not going to put you on the spot.
I don't even know where to go with that one. I would say you're number one because...
Because I'm a lady.
You're a woman.
Yeah.
But then I was going to say maybe I should be number one because I'm older than you.
Yeah. And more experienced. And therefore, I would be your Spock.
Yes. And I would be your Una.
Excellent.
I was going to say number one, but I'd rather say Una.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And Christopher Littlefield says in the chat, I love how awkward he looks when he's smiling.
I know.
He does look awkward.
It's perfect. It's perfect. So now I've seen Ethan Peck smiling in real life when he's not done up as Spock, and it's very different. And I have to just take a moment to say how amazing his performance was in this short, because yeah. He embodied the Nimoy era early Trek like no one I have ever seen. Just certain facial expressions, certain times where he raised his eyebrows in a certain way during a sentence he was saying, the way he stood, the way he was sitting on the floor when he was in the turbo lift with his back ramrod straight against the wall. Just all of these little things were just so perfect. Just wanted to say that.
He's perfect.
Well, yeah.
So do you like him better than Quinto Spock?
Okay, that is a difficult thing for me to say. Here's the thing.
Well, because you're not a big fan of the Kelvin timeline movies.
I love Zachary Quinto, and his Spock, he was great at doing what he had given. I feel like the writing and characterization let him down, and so he never really felt like my Spock. He never felt like a Nimoy Spock to me. I know he was coached by Leonard Nimoy, and I think he was absolutely fantastic, but I think the material that he had to work with did not make it feel like Spock to me. That is my personal opinion only. But Ethan Peck has just come in and just nailed it, absolutely nailed it, and will forever be right up there with Leonard.
Oh, I should not have asked that question. It's not fair to the actors.
No, it's not.
But no, I think that's a good answer, because it's the material, not the performance,
yes,
that you have an issue with.
Exactly.
I like both actors' performances. They do it maybe a little different from each other, but I mean, if you had to do more Star Trek and had to pick one over the other, I'd be fine, you know, whatever. Either way. But I'm kind of edging out maybe Ethan Peck right now, just because I think you're right. I maybe because I'm seeing him on TV, and that's where I kind of prefer mm-hmm. Star Trek.
Yeah.
And so I like TV Spock versus a movie Spock, maybe. I don't know.
Sure. Justify it however you want. It's fine.
Yeah, whatever that is. Okay, I'm going in here because I see Jude says Peck is a wizard with that role.
Agree.
And also said, Jude also said that the laugh was one of Spock's all-time greatest moments. You heard it here first.
I love it.
Wow.
I love it. That makes me happy.
Okay. Oh, good, Ben. I'm glad you found us. Ben was looking for us on random live stream.
Welcome, Ben.
Welcome, Ben. Wait, Liam, you're saying, and now you're back after watching it that quick? You just watched it? Like, literally, you just watched it while we're doing the live show. Holy crap.
You were gone That's for amazing. 14 minutes and I didn't even notice?
Ugh. I don't know if I should be offended that you left the show, or I should be excited that you went to watch Short Treks and came back to us.
And we won't talk about how he managed to do that.
No, well, he's visiting United States
yes.
right now.
He is on. I knew he was on holiday this week. So
yeah, he just said totally legal. Yeah, he's in Montana mm-hmm. right now.
Yep,
like you know, most people do when they come to the States. I don't know. Wait, okay, Patrick. Anyone remember who else in Trek sang "Modern Major General"? I don't.
Oh, it so was someone, Geordi in Disaster, TNG season 5. Dan in there almost immediately.
Dan got that immediately. That's impressive.
Liam, how are you in my house? Where are you in my house? Did Dave let you in? Which, it's fine. It's fine. I'm sure they're fine.
Great. So, let's see here. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Music.
Mm-hmm.
The music, not the singing, the actual music in this episode. There were times where they would show the outside of the turbo lift going the track.
Yeah.
And I swear that music sounded similar to the music we hear in the movies, the Kelvin timeline movies. It was kind of like that. I swear it was a play off of that. I swear it was. It sounded so much like it to me.
I don't know, because I don't have enough experience with the Kelvin movies to even detect what that music was.
But it's Michael Giacchino. I mean, come on, he's the best.
I'm not saying that the music was bad. I'm saying I've seen 2009 once, and I've seen Into Darkness once. I've seen Beyond a few times, but, you know, it's not like I would just immediately know that, because I don't.
Okay, well, Christopher Littlefield just said in the chat that Michael Giacchino was the supervising composer.
Indeed, he was. I saw that in the credits.
So that's probably it then.
Yep.
See, I have a good ear for music right there.
Very well done. Very well done.
I don't know if I ever mentioned on the show, but I asked him to write me a theme song. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
So I briefly met Michael Giacchino and I asked him to write me a theme song. And he's like, you want me to write a song for you? And I'm like, yeah, I want you to write a song for me. He's like, okay. He's like, do you have your checkbook on you? I said, no. I was like searching my pockets. I'm like, no. He goes, then I can't write you a song. And then we just laughed about it. And that was it. But I came that close to having him write me a theme song.
Wow.
Which we could have used on this show. But
totally could have.
Let's see. What else here? I couldn't make it out. Is the name Upjohn is the engineer
yes. That
was calling into the turbo lift?
Correct.
Okay. So I thought that was cool. I would love to see her at some point.
Yes, I'm sure that we will when we get that Pike series.
You think we're going to get a Pike series?
I don't care if it's actually happening. I want it so badly that I'm going to manifest it. Because, you know, quantum physics.
Oh, my. You know, people don't talk in elevators. Have you ever noticed that?
I do, but I'm a weirdo.
You talk in elevators?
I totally do.
Then it's your fault. Thank you. Thank you for pointing this out now. Because I never did, and now I do it all the time. I don't know what has changed in the last year, but maybe you've rubbed off on me. So when you're talking on elevators, it's to strangers, right? If you're with people you're talking to, but if you get on an elevator with strangers, are you talking to them?
Sure. Do it all the time.
About what? What are you saying to them?
It just depends. Like when we went to this last FanX, we were often in the elevator with other people. Sometimes they were in cosplay. I would compliment them on their costume. Sometimes it was just we were holding the door for somebody and they said, thank you. No problem. We're all on the same team here. You know, so it's just, you know, just like stuff like that.
Yep. Yep. I'm doing weird things like that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's okay. I'm totally comfortable with the fact that I'm weird.
That's why we do this show.
Exactly. Together.
So, Spock asks about three facts about Pike from number one.
Yes.
And what? You're going to say something.
I was just going to say the look on her face when he does that, she looks at him like she's surprised. And she's probably thinking, good question. But she doesn't say it, of course. It's just evident in her expression, in my opinion.
And then she said something at the end about like his horses, like, and don't ask him about the horses.
No,
he's
sentimental only about horses. And he says he's sentimental about, and I can't remember the description, but it was very technical. And she says, yes, don't ask him about it. Don't bring it up.
Yeah. And he's like, well, you've made a most careful study of Captain Pike.
Oh, the
and
look on her face then.
Embarrassing. Yes, I love it. Because there's always this hint that there's something between those two, an interest. Mm-hmm. It's even in the books.
Yep.
That, you know, that we read on literary tracks. Ding! Yes, that's a second mention of it on the show.
Take a drink.
So, yeah, I love that part.
Yes. She was very nervous at that moment.
And then, like, when she's asking Spock to hoist her up, and he puts his arms around her, like,
he's like, gonna grab her by the waist. She's like, no.
Like, he's gonna throw her into the air. Woohoo!
And you know, it was during this short that I noticed that they had zipper pockets in their pants.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I did notice that, too.
Yeah, and I thought, yeah, and what are you gonna put in there? A lip balm? It's gonna just stick right straight out. You're gonna tell what's in there. I mean, it's just... Those uniforms are skin tight, man. You can't hide anything in those pockets.
Okay, sure. Well, I mean, it was mentioned earlier in the chat, but we didn't mention it. You know, still no butt on Spock or whatever. I don't know. That you can see through the pants or not. I don't know.
Oh, I knew someone was going to bring Spock's butt into this.
That was by Christopher. He did it earlier in the chat. I saw it. I wasn't going to mention it by just now because you mentioned pants.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the pants and the boots. We saw a lot of close-ups of it, so we can really see details of the uniform. Like you're mentioning, the zippers.
Yes, I like the boots, too. I would wear those boots. So the look on Spock's face when she's on his shoulders, it's just like, I don't know what is happening here. I've never had to do this.
At one point, his hair moved a little, and I thought, is that a wig?
Well, it's not his real hair, obviously.
I don't know. It was Leonard Nimoy's real hair.
Yes, but it's not Ethan Peck's real hair. His hair is naturally curly.
Oh, that's true. It is. Well, they could straighten it, right?
Yeah, but it's also not that dark.
Then you can color. That's what they did with Michael Lookinland on the Brady Bunch when he was a kid. He had brown hair. They colored it black every episode because they wanted his hair to match everybody else's on the Brady Bunch. Oh my gosh, I'm going to the Brady Bunch again. I gotta stop
every
doing
time.
That.
Every time we can't
I saw
get
Barry Williams, who plays Greg Brady. I saw him went on Thursday. Just saying. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, and his hair was not black.
Right.
It was gray and curly. So, yeah, and Ethan Peck, it's funny because my daughter, I mean, she occasionally watches Discovery with me. And we met Ethan Peck at Dragon Con. And afterwards, she's like, I said, did you like meeting him? She goes, he's kind of hot. And so when I told her about the short treks, I said, you might want to watch it. It has Spock on it. And she's like, Spock? I'm like, yeah, remember? He's hot. She goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, honey. Oh, no, I didn't say that.
What? Yep. Were you smiling? That's what... See, I'm changing subject now. Were you smiling is what number one says to Spock. When you beamed aboard, did I see you smiling?
And he doesn't really answer, but she says, because I found it a bit disconcerting. And that's when he says he'll never smile again, and...
But then she goes on about the diversity of the crew, and she doesn't want to suppress people's natural way of things. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that, you know, we accept you for who you are. But yet, she advises him to be aware of how other crew members perceive him.
Yeah, and to keep his freaky to himself.
Keep his freaky to himself. But is that the right thing to do? Why not be yourself? Just because you want to be on the command track, you can't be yourself?
Well,
that may be true in the real world, too, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, it is. And I don't know. It's one of those things where people are held to different standards depending on the jobs that they have. And apparently, humanity hasn't quite gotten past that, even in the 23rd century. So, I don't know. I feel like... There are certain things about myself that I would never let the people at work know. Not because I'm not being me, but because they don't need to know that. So, and I'm not saying...
But we're talking about a smile.
Yeah. Well, seeing a Vulcan smile is very much different than seeing a human smile. Because Vulcans aren't known for their smiling. So it would kind of freak people out.
Read your husband's big question in the chat.
To be a member of Starfleet, must one suppress their individuality in favor of the collective? Sounds so Spock right now, don't you, darling?
That's an interesting question for me in another manner, because we are, I know I'm going to mention it again, Literary Treks. We have an upcoming episode where we're talking about the novelization of Star Trek, the motion picture.
Mm-hmm.
And early in the book, it talks about the new humans. Gene Roddenberry with the novelization talks about the new humans, that they tend to do just that. They suppress their individuality and join groups, collectives. And so they're not proper for Starfleet. It's kind of the opposite of what number one's suggesting for Starfleet, that they have to be more primitive to serve effectively in deep space missions. Anyway, we'll talk more about that on an upcoming Literary Treks with me, Dan, and Larry Nemechek. So check that out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that would be why Ilea had to sign a clause of celibacy to serve on board a starship.
That's true. I watched that movie on my, I have a movie projector, like, you know, movie theater room or whatever. I watched that on my birthday. No, the night before my birthday, I watched it. And on Friday night. And it really is, the motion picture should be seen on a big screen.
Absolutely.
I've watched it many times, like on my HDTV, which, you know, they're decent sizes. But really, when it was blown up real big, it's like that. It's more effective that way.
Agree. Because I did see it in the theater for the first time when the 40th anniversary happened.
And, did you? I wanted to do that.
It was amazing. I cried a lot just from the sheer beauty of it, because I had never seen it on the big screen. I was six when it came out, and my parents were not in the habit of taking six-year-olds to a over 2-hour movie, whether it was Star Trek or not. And so I had never had that opportunity. And to see it on the big screen with theater sound was just mind-blowing. It was just an amazing experience that I will always treasure.
That's awesome. Seriously, that's because it's so visual, like, you know, the cloud and you're going through it slowly. Mm-hmm. And but when it's big on the screen, it does feel big because it's supposed to, the cloud is supposed to be humongous.
It feels, and everything. It feels the whole screen. It's just like this tiny little ship and this whole big screen. And honestly, for a lot of the movie, you know, the scene where Scotty has to take Kirk to the Enterprise in a shuttle because transporters aren't working, right? And he's taking him for the 10-cent tour is what I like to call it, which people think is really, really long, but in actuality is not that long. And just, you know, there's so many shots of Kirk's face as he's looking at his ship. That was my face through most of that film. It's just like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. No, it's fine. You're in a dark theater. Go ahead and cry. It's fine.
Well, it's interesting for me to watch that movie Friday and then watch the Short Treks on Saturday, because, you know, I'm watching this long movie that's a slow pace, and then I'm watching this Short Treks, which is a faster pace. The pacing is different and the way it's shot is different. And the way the characters are interacting is more fun in the Short Treks than it was in the motion picture. So sometimes, you know, there's not a totally consistent way to do Star Trek. It can vary.
Well, that's
from movie screen to TV, and
it's
not always the same. Even the original series doesn't feel like The Next Generation, which doesn't feel like Discovery, you know?
Well, why would you want it all to feel the same? How boring would that
be? I love that there's
this diversity in it, and that every show has its own feel and every show has its own pace. And even within those shows, there are faster paced things and there are slower paced things, because not everything is going at 100 miles an hour or 0 miles an hour. There's many variances in between.
Which, unlike, so with Star Wars, I feel like they try to make all the movies feel the same, where Star Trek can feel different.
Agree.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I totally get that.
Yeah. I mean, at least for now. I think as they make more movies and TV shows for Star Wars and more creative people come in and get involved, I think we start to see different takes and changes. But for now, it's always like harking back to how George Lucas did it. And I know this isn't a Star Wars podcast, but my point is we've had so many different creative people involved in Star Trek. It hasn't been it hasn't been just Gene Roddenberry overseeing everything. We've had 50 years of different creatives.
Yeah.
overseeing this franchise and these movies and these TV shows that we get these different takes on it, these different styles. And I do enjoy that.
I agree. I love the variety. Because, you know, it's like the human race. If everyone was all the same, how boring that would be.
Exactly.
Our differences are what make it interesting.
I agree. Yep. That's why I like the novels and the comics and stuff, because it's that same thing.
Agree. You know?
Anyway, anything else? I'm asking the chat, is there anything else you want us to talk about? Or Brandy, is there something I haven't brought up from that episode that you really enjoyed that we haven't discussed or not enjoyed even?
No, I'm trying to think. I'm going through the whole thing in my mind again.
And the very model. I've been for mission vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know that kings of England.
Yeah, okay. Stop that. But again, her diction was impeccable, because it is very difficult to sing a song that fast and be able to enunciate the words as well as she did. Because you understood every single word she said. She didn't slur them together. She got faster. And I just thought, oh my goodness. Liam's asking me, did I cry at some point? I didn't full on cry, but, at the beginning of the short, when Spock fully comes into, focus, I felt myself welling up. So it's just like, oh man, it's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you again. Yeah, but this might be a first that you didn't cry.
Yeah, there have been short treks I didn't cry during, and there have been episodes of Discovery that I didn't cry during.
I thought you've cried in every Discovery episode.
No, in season two. In season two, I did, yes. Okay. But not in every episode of season one. But every episode of season two, there was something in there that really triggered my emotions. But this one wasn't a full-on cry. But there were suppressed tears that were starting to well up. I'm like, good Lord, Brandy, he's just getting on the transporter. So I was just so happy to see him.
I see other things in the chat mentioned about the handles on the elevator, and I'm glad you guys brought that up, because I noticed those, but I don't think they ever used them. Did they?
I don't.
When they boarded, I don't recall them using that. And I was wondering when I was watching the episode if those were ever used. And if not, when are they used and when are they not used? Like, when are you supposed to use them and not use them?
I don't know, but we see Pike using them in Such Sweet Sorrow in season two.
Yep, I remember that.
So it seems to be one of those things where, I don't know, maybe this one just. That's the thing. It was inconsistent in the television series too. So
that's true.
It was just one of those
you use the handles during space flight, but when the ship is stationary, you don't need to.
Perhaps.
That's just.
There you go. That's
I don't
in my
know
head
if
canon.
That lines up correctly. I don't know if you watched past episodes if that would line up correctly or not.
Yeah, no, it's all...
Now I want to do that. I want to go back to all episodes of the original series and see if that works.
Rewatch coming at you.
So Patrick thinks number one did something with the handles at least once. Maybe. I want to go back and look at that now, because I don't recall her doing it.
Oh, gosh, darn. I'm going to have to watch it a seventh time.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you weren't planning to do that to begin with.
I plead the fifth.
Okay. This episode was dedicated to Dr. Robert Chabon.
Yes.
And Michael Chabon was the writer. That was his father that he dedicated to, who died a few months ago.
Mm.
So, I don't have anything else. If you want initial impressions of the two trailers.
There were trailers? No, I'm kidding. I haven't watched them as much. I've watched both of them about three times. And the Picard one, I started getting more ramped up. I'm ready. Ready. January 23rd, I am ready.
Yeah, the date. We got a date, so that's awesome.
Yeah, and I really super loved seeing Riker and Troy at the end of that trailer. basically. It's like, stop yelling! It's Jean-Luc Picard! And yeah, so I knew that was Riker from the moment I saw the back of him. I'm just like, ah, there we go. So that made me excited. I'm not trying to make any theories because it shows a lot of things without any context. And so I can't even begin to speculate on what goes where. But I'm excited to see what happens. And then with the Discovery Season 3 trailer, I'm like, wow, what is happening here? I want to know more. And I'm happy David Ojala's on it. I love that guy.
Yes, I was glad to see him. I love the comment he made to her about ghosts, about her badge. I thought that was cool. I don't want to get too much into it, but yeah, I'm excited about that, the direction they're going. It seems like the Federation really isn't around maybe, or as it used to. Mm-hmm. And yes, Christopher, we see the species, which is Morn. Of course, I can't remember his name. I know Dan knows because he mentioned it on his YouTube channel.
Yep.
And yes, Cardassians and Trill. We see that. Also, the Picard trailer I liked. I knew it was Riker right away, but here's something I want to mention to you. When was the last time we've seen Jonathan Frakes play Riker?
Enterprise.
Right. And what character was Chef Riker portraying on the Chef? What do we see him doing in the Picard trailer?
Cooking!
Chopping veggies.
Yes!
Whatever he's doing. That was my first thought. I'm like, what? He's playing Chef again?
Yep. Is he on the holodeck? So good.
I don't know if that was on purpose or just a coincidence that they did that.
I don't know. Is anything coincidental when Frakes is involved? I don't know.
But I thought that was funny.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really think about that at first. Yeah, that brought me joy. And there's we're really, Dave and I are very intrigued by the Vulcan Samurai because he looks like he is straight out of Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm just really excited to find out more about that guy. And just looking forward to more Trek.
Me too.
And
more live.
And more live. And I'm super excited for Disco Season 3. And she does say at one point she's got to find that domino that tipped the balance. So yes. I'm thinking that she's trying to find out where everything went wrong so that she can somehow fix it. I don't know how she would think she could fix it because her time crystal would be drained by now. Or is it? We don't know. All we know is they are not at New Eden.
That is so true. I think it would be interesting, even though I don't think this is going to happen, but it would be interesting for her to find out what it is that caused the Federation's whatever it is, why it's gone or whatever.
Demise.
That's the word I'm looking for. The Federation's demise. And somehow we find out that whatever she finds out caused that, we find out that happened somewhere in the Picard series. Like all of a sudden there's a click where we're like, oh my gosh, wait, but that happened in Picard. We saw that in a previous episode. Like, I don't think it's all going to tie together, but that would be cool. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. And excuse me, I am mistaken. That was a Romulan samurai. Either way, still looks like a D&D character, so I'm on board.
Well, but Romulans are descendants of Vulcans.
They're like brothers, right. You know? They're like, their species are like brothers.
We'll give it
genetically,
to you.
Genetically, so.
Wait, Dan, did you answer the question of what Rom species is?
Lorian.
Oh, Lorian. Oh, yeah, there you go. Oh, and Patrick said it, too. Oh, and Chris, everybody knows.
Everybody knows, but us.
We are not suitable for this show.
No, we should be fired. Hey, but to be fair, that was the Picard trailer, okay? So we're Discovery people and not Picard people yet.
That's true.
So.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Still no date for season 3 of Discovery.
No, just 2020.
No, 2020, but at least we got the Picard date, which is nice.
Yes, we do.
You know that.
We have.
And the dates for all the short treks. So we have another short treks. Let's talk about this now.
Yes.
Another short trek's coming out on Thursday of this week, which is what, the
11th? The 10th.
10th?
The 10th. It is the 10th, I swear to you, because Friday is...
Yes, you're right.
Friday's the 11th, the and I know that because it's my wedding anniversary.
Oh, happy wedding anniversary.
22 years.
Who'd you marry?
Some guy.
Some guy in the chat.
Yeah, some guy in the chat.
So, we're going to try... The plan is that episode comes out Thursday. We're also going to try to do this live show on Thursday, that same night.
Yes, it will depend on when the short trek actually drops, which there hasn't been a time really set for that. So I hope it's going to all work out. And if it doesn't, we'll work it out another way.
We'll work it out. We have some conflicts on Friday and later Thursday and whatever. So we're going to try to fit that in at same time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, and now Chris Littlefield is asking me if I got any new cool Star Trek stuff lately. Well, somebody sent me a package. You know, somebody just decided to send me a package, and it had some Star Trek stuff in it.
Oh, and that's nice.
And if you guys want to wait a second, I'll go get it. So,
okay.
Hang on.
You're going to go get your...
I'll be right
okay.
back.
I wonder who sent you something. That would be very interesting. Maybe it's a secret admirer. I hope it's not something that could jeopardize her marriage that
she's
celebrating this week.
Certainly not. So there are some Star Trek things.
Is that Captain Marvel behind you? That wasn't there before, was it?
Yes, it was.
Last season. It was?
It was. It was, okay. But it was towards the end. Okay, so first, and I'm not going to say what the sticker means because we don't swear in the show, but if you can all see that, that's my little Admiral Cornwell. And
what does it say?
It says, cut the manlier than thou stuff.
Bull something.
Bull something. So there's that. And then there's a chili magnet. I love feeling feelings. That's like my total view on life. Because I'm going to have feelings no matter what, so I might as well love it. And then a Tilly pin.
Tilly pin.
I have an Ash Tyler pin. This is now my second. But it's my Tilly pin. So, yeah. Okay, awesome. Okay. Chris Littlefield sent those to me, okay? So
surprise, surprise.
He's very sweet, and I thank you very much, Chris, because I squealed when I opened the package. I might have cried a little. I did cry a little.
Oh, I was going to ask, did you cry?
I did cry a little.
You know, it's when Trek friends do nice things for each other. It's an emotional thing.
It is. It is indeed.
So. Oh, and he says, aw, love you.
I love you too.
We love you too. All right, so it's time to end these things, and I don't know if you're going to do our closing in a voice or not, or if anybody has recommendations of voices you want to do, or if that's old school, we don't do voices anymore.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention he also sent me a pop figure of Deet from the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance, who is my favorite character in that show. So, anyway, I'm not singing, Chris. I'm not going to sing. At least not a song from this show. If anyone has no, but there's not going to be interpretive dance either. Good Lord.
Oh man.
I'm not a dancer. I'm not. I took like 3 years of ballet and I was just as sucky at the end of it as I was at the beginning of it because I have an inner ear problem that makes my balance very terrible. So, the chatty engineer, I would have to practice that. That's funny.
Do you know, when I was in high school, and this is back in the 80s, I used to break dance.
Nice! Dude, I was in high school in the 80s, too, so don't even, you know, act like that's it. Popping and locking. Yeah.
I even destroyed our humidifier in the basement when I was... breakdancing. That's a whole nother story.
Oopsie. Okay. So. Well, since I'm not prepared to do the chatty engineer, except now Chris is saying you should do the voices. Fine. Fine. You do a voice, Bruce. Fine.
What, me? No, I'm not doing the voice. That's not the tradition.
All right. Well, I'm going to do it as number one answering a lot of questions from Spock. She brought it on herself, folks. She told him that she wanted him to ask questions to the point where people found him annoying. So, yes, and this is going to be
logical.
This is going to be abbreviated because honestly, I don't have any idea what the other shows are doing right now. So I don't know when they're going to be, but you'll find all of those shows in the main feed for The Edge and in the Trek FM master feed. Now, we would like to hear your thoughts on Discovery, and the best place to do that is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Trek FM or send us email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose The Edge. We would also like to thank our associate producers, Ensign Norman C. Lau, Ensign Tony Robinson, Ensign Thomas Paleo, Commander Lisa Slack, yes, I promoted you, Shoab Mirza, Crewman Richard Rutledge, Admiral James Muldrow, I'm just throwing these out, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mallett, Chris Trabuzio, and Brian Malosh. Thank you, everyone. You make this show possible, and we appreciate you. This is just getting a little heavy. So if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going, and even become an associate producer so that I can read your name out in different voices and styles, then go to patreon.com/trekfm for the details.
Mm. Wow. Number one, sounds like you're stuck on a turbo lift.
With someone asking if I like eggplant.
Hey, I want to give a special shout out to StreamYard.
Yes.
This show would not have been possible without StreamYard. They are a new service at StreamYard.com. If you want to do your own live shows on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, it's simple to use. It's free. I think they have an upgraded service that you can pay for to do maybe more bells and whistles. I don't know, but it's been awesome. So please, if any podcasters are out there listening and looking to do something like this, I recommend StreamYard, and let's keep them in business, because if they shut down, I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Yeah. We want them to stay around. Please, please, please.
Yes. And they have a little duck head as their little symbol, which is cute.
It's a mallard duck too.
It is. Quacks me up.
Nice.
Nah, dad joke. Okay, everyone, thank you for joining us. And this episode is going to release as a podcast. And those who are listening to it as a podcast, well, you already know this. And we'll see you on Thursday after the next Short Treks, which I don't remember which one they're showing.
Do you remember? I can find out. Hang on.
It's going to be a good one, though, okay. Because it's Short Treks. Yeah. Somebody in the chat's going to beat you to it.
Yeah.
It's a race. Do it. Yeah. You got it?
It is The Trouble with Edward.
That's right. Trouble with Edward. You're right. I remember that. Yes, that's going to be a good one. I'm excited about that. That will be fun.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. And until next time, live long and prosper.
And keep calm and disco on. Yay! They're still going in the chat with all of the puns.
Oh, you can stop recording.
Yeah, let me do that.